Good evening and welcome to American States on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Monday, July 3rd, 2023, one day before Independence Day. So, got a lot to talk about. That's going to be the biggie. The Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. Okay, but with that being said, let's start off with the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Something to think about today, since, again, tomorrow is Independence Day. And since we spent a month celebrating Pride, which a lot of people want to talk about the word pride these days, what that really means, and people going up, protesting, displaying, whatever you want to call it, going down the street saying, we're queer, we're here, we're coming after your children, this is the state of our union today. It's a pretty sick situation. And the other, which I have to get off, I have to say right in the very beginning here, like, I don't like hearing people say happy July 4th. We don't, and I have heard a lot of that on some of the channels like Real America's Voices and stuff, people that I would not, Steve Bannon and Wayne Allen Root, people I wouldn't have thought would have said happy July 4th. Now, Glenn Beck kept saying Independence Day. Tomorrow, July 4th, is Independence Day. And that he keeps saying Independence Day. So anyway, and some of you saw the email that I sent out earlier this week when I started hearing this happy July 4th stuff. And I said, oh, come on, people. Do you say Merry December 25th? Do you say happy January 1st? Do you say happy November 23rd? So why are you saying happy July 4th? Why are you omitting the word independence? And more importantly, is who all of a sudden changes? When did we stop saying happy Independence Day and we started saying happy July 4th? And why would we do that? Why would you marginalize the meaning of the holiday by saying, oh, we're celebrating the fourth day in July? Is that what we're celebrating, the fourth day in July? Or are we celebrating something more, a little bit more substantial, like the creation of this country and our Declaration of Independence from the King? Isn't that a little bit more important? So I sent that out to a lot of people. And to me, it really is pretty stupid to say happy July 4th. Not unless you go around saying Merry December 25th. Is that what you say at Christmas time? Merry December 25th? Really? Why would you do this? So anyway, that's just a pet peeve of mine. And I think it marginalizes and demeans what the holiday is all about, what we're celebrating, what we're supposed to be celebrating. We're not supposed to be celebrating a day in July. We're supposed to be celebrating an event. And a lot of people just don't seem to quite get that. But anyway, we're going to have a good show. We've got Dr. Tolbert's going to be on here in just a couple of minutes. And we're going to talk about the meaning of Independence Day, why July 4th is significant. And then he's also going to say a prayer for America, help us get, and we all need to say a prayer for America. And then as we're talking, I'm going to introduce an idea that I have. I won't go into too much detail now. It's about sending a Bible campaign as well, say. It's a Bible campaign to make some people think about what they're doing, maybe a little bit differently, because we seem to have lost some of the core foundations of this country, which, you know, there's those who try to say we're not one nation under God or whatever else. But if you look again at the Declaration, which I have the link to the Declaration of Independence on the show page, if you don't happen to have a copy handy, but you can go out there and look at it. And for the support of this Declaration was firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now, think about that statement, and then think about what people in D.C. and in your local government and state governments, what do they pledge to each other, their lives, their fortune, their sacred honor? Do you think they pledge that? I don't. Mitch McConnell? Kevin McCarthy? No way. And these are the people that are in charge or close to being in charge. Pretty scary. So it's a sad state of affairs that we are in. But we better do something fast, which is one of the articles. Again, I'll get into some of that other stuff. But before I do that, just a couple of quick updates. Let's see. Everybody should be somewhat aware of what's going on in France. Has France totally fallen? Last I heard, they had taken their military out to trying to defend their own country, I guess, from a takeover. So France, the fall of France, and remember, France was kind of laughing at us at what we were doing and whatever else, and when it came to immigration, they allowed a massive immigration, and they allowed a takeover of the country. That's what they did. I mean, from what I've seen. This is my own opinion, you know, it's whatever it's worth. But the thing is, there's total chaos in France right now. The world is in a very, very bad way. And the fall of France looks like that's what's happening today. I don't know. We will see. Then something about just recently, something about three explosives in D.C. They've got some pictures and some information on the individual. I haven't heard any updates on that this afternoon, but it's kind of amazing. It hasn't been, it hasn't been quite as pronounced in the media. There has been some reporting, but it's been somewhat light. And you kind of wonder, well, you got three explosives and with everything that they did, to the Jan 6 people and everything else, you would think this might be kind of important, but, you can go out there and find the report from the Capitol Police kind of thing, so D.C. Police. I should say D.C. Police. But just kind of interesting. I heard basically nothing on it. Okay, then the other is good old AOC. We recently had some Supreme Court decisions. Some of them were good. Most of them were good. There was one that wasn't so good. But AOC is out there that she wants oversight of the Supreme Court and that they're not following the law, and she wants to impeach him. This lady is such a nutcase. And the scary part is because she's young and nice-looking and whatever else, whatever the game is that the media plays, they act like she knows what she's talking about when she really doesn't. She just doesn't know. And she goes and makes these statements, and it's like she's clueless. But the sad part is because she got elected to Congress, and of course we wonder who really financed the election and all that kind of stuff, she's given all this credibility when she doesn't have a clue what she's talking about. It's just a sad thing. Sad, sad, sad. So let's see, then there's that. What was the other? There is a movie that's supposed to be tomorrow. Opening tomorrow, and it's The Sound of Freedom, and it's a reference to sex trafficking with children, as I understand it. I've seen a few teasers for it, and I'm going to try to watch that. It sounds really interesting, but, you know, it's hopefully between this and The Great Awakening and other things that people are starting to really realize how serious this is, how close we are to losing our country. We've lost so many of our rights already. We really have. People need to understand that. The Patriot Act, we've talked about that too. We need to get everybody out there contacting everybody, every elected, sharing it with other people. We've got to get them to and get rid of the Patriot Act. It's totally unconstitutional. It goes against everything. They're out there trying to give our health care rights away to the WHO. There's all these things we fought for independence, the abuses we were taken from the king. And when you go down the list, and we'll talk about that a little bit tonight, once we get going here, we'll look at the Declaration of Independence and why we wanted to be independent, how we were being abused by the king. And then look at what we have today. Let's compare King George to King O'Biden. Because we know that Biden's not really doing much. It's all being in the background, and most likely Obama in the background. Just, again, the conclusions when you watch and see what's kind of going on, because we know Biden cannot think clearly enough to do anything. So it's King George versus King O'Biden and how we're being destroyed and how the country's fallen. And this is the time to think about it. The month of July, if we can have a month of June for homosexuals and bisexuals and binaries and whatever else they want to call themselves, the month of July should be for the Patriots, should be for freedom and independence and liberty. We got to call this the month of freedom, the month of liberty, the month of the Patriots. What about some things like that? If they can have a whole month to celebrate all this other insanity and go around our Capitol building with half their clothes off and people, all the other disgusting stuff, are they going to do that for a month? Can't we at least respect our country for a month? Can't we respect what we're supposed to be and get out there and make people think, by the way, what is freedom? What is liberty? What is independence? What does July 4th really mean? So there's a couple of things out there. Again, a lot of stuff. Think about what's happening to our country, the future. Are we going to survive to the 24th to see the 2024 election? Are we going to survive to see that? And there's one colonel out there saying he doesn't think we're going to, and I'll mention some of that too. But I really want to get Dr. Tolbert on here quickly. The only other thing, let's see here. Okay. Oh, go out to YouTube if you get a chance, the Potomac Tea Party and what my free speech means to me. This is Chris Wright, Christopher Wright. He's been on the show. He's a constitutional guru, and we'll try to have him back on the show in a few weeks here. But how they silenced their speech, taking their speech away, so that's go out there and watch that. I have started to watch it, haven't watched the whole thing, but we have to realize what's really happening out there. It's just very sad. And it's Colonel Douglas McGregory who is out there saying, I don't think we will ever get to the 2024th election. So think about what that really means, too, you know? And I've said that on this show several times. Are we ever going to see the 2024 election? Are we going to survive that long? Because they're trying, you know, how much longer are we truly going to have a dollar bill? How much longer before they're going to have to take total control of our finances and our money? And it's just so much is happening. And it's just so sad that so many people are just, unfortunately, too ignorant to see what's going on. And we also always have to accept the fact that we, the people, allowed this to happen. The dumbing down of Americans through public education, and then, of course, the brainwashing of the media, no freedom of the press. I mean, we have this press that's not really freedom of the press. They're not the watchdogs they're supposed to be. And our country's fallen. And we'll be lucky if we can save it. We really will. It will take divine intervention for us to save it. And then, this was actually Karen. Karen's not going to be able to join tonight. She's got some other things going on, and she won't be able to join. But she did have a question for any atheist out there listening, which I think will be will be good, too, as we get Dr. Tolbert on here. The question for the atheist, and everybody knows who the atheist is who calls in. If you don't get your rights from God, which is what our creator. Who do you get your rights from? If you're an atheist, who do you get your rights from? So if you get your rights from your fellow humans, okay. That's an interesting way to think of it. But when you think about the foundation of the United States of America, and our rights come from God, not from other people who want to be dictators, and that's what's going on here. We really, really have to understand how we have allowed presidents of the United States of America to be dictators through executive orders. And we're not going to talk about it too much tonight, but it's the executive order Nathan has mentioned several times, 12803. This was the one from George H.W. Bush, President George H.W. Bush, where he literally sold out our infrastructure to anybody. Any foreign interest could take over. No stipulations, no controls, no nothing. So China, come on in, buy up the United States. We're for sale. And of course, it looks like it's pretty much working that way for good old Biden and company, the Biden crime family. So anyway, that I think okay. That covers the highlights for right now. There's plenty of other things going on, but I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to get Dr. Tolbert on here. Many of you have heard Dr. Tolbert on the show many times before. He definitely is a patriot. He's a veteran. He's very well credentialed in the subject matter here. And so he's going to help us talk about what the meaning of July 4th Independence Day is. And also he will close the show with a prayer for America. And I'm telling everybody out there, you really need to say a prayer for this country. We are in bad shape. You better better understand where we truly are and how close we are to falling off a cliff and not having a country. I think it's close. Anyway, thank you, Dr. Talbert, for joining. Can you hear me or can I hear you? Let's test.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep, perfectly. Thank you.
Good, good. It's a blessing. Sally, you know, when we get into the Independence Day and we watch what people are doing in Tamal, where I'm at, people will shoot fireworks and they will have barbecue and they will eat, but none will stand at attention. None will salute the flag. None will understand the total meaning of where we're at today. And it's really a major, major issue. When we wrote Volume 2 and we got into the Constitution and the biblical issues of the Constitution, we really got into the fact that we have to change our position. And one of the things that I sent, it went into how there was a history of wars in the Bible, and there was a violation of where they were at and where they should have been. And countries uprose against the peaceful countries. And we see this happen through the kings of the days of the Old Testament. We see this through today, that many people aren't recognizing Independence Day, to include the President of the United States, our governors, our senators, and a lot of people. I want to get in just a little background, and I want to just talk a little bit, but I'm kind of into the Pledge of Allegiance and the real meaning behind it. You know, we talk about I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic of which it stands, and the nations under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The pledge is said standing, if able, facing the flag, if in uniform, male or female, render a hand salute. If a civilian, entire your right hand should be placed over your heart for males. If it is a citizen attire and wearing a hat, the hat should be removed, held by the right hand and placed on the left shoulder. Females wearing hats are not required to remove and are causing otherwise. What is the meaning of the pledge? I pledge allegiance. I promise to be faithful and true. I promise my loyalty to the flag, to enable that standing for the represents of the United States, all 50 states and territories, each of them individual, and individually states representing on the flag of America, yet formed into the union of one nation and to the republic. And I also pledge my loyalty to the government, that it itself is a republic, a form of government where the people are sovereign, stands. This government also being represented by the flag, to which I promise loyalty, to the nation under God. The 50 individual states are united as a single republic under the divine providence of God, indivisible, and cannot be separated, with liberty. The people of this nation being afforded the freedom to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, and justice, and each person entitled to be treated justly, fairly, and accordingly to the proper law and principle for all. These principles afford to every loyal American, regardless of their race, religion, creed, or any other criteria. So now we understand, when we look at the Declaration and we look at the Pledge of Allegiance and we look at the facts, that we have failed to follow and do. And we really need to go on to Nation Without Representation was the battle cry in America's 13 colonies, which were forced to pay taxes to England, King George III. Despite having no representation in British Parliament. As dissatisfaction grew, British troops were sent to quell the early movement toward rebellion. Repeated attempts by the colonists to reserve and resolve the crisis without military conflict proved fruitless. On June the 11th, 1776, the colonists' Second Continental Congress met in Philadelphia and formed a committee whose express purpose was drafting a document that would formally sever their ties with Great Britain. The committee included Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Roger Sherman, and Robert Livingston. Jefferson, who was considered the strongest and most elegant writer, crafted the original draft document as seen. Total of 86 changes were made to his draft, and the Continental Congress officially adopted the final version on July the 4th, 1776. There's many people that don't understand the bonification and the reading of it that the world must follow. And not going into the actual reading, but it's important that we understand. There's a comment made in documents that talk the men of war, and they don't understand there was not just men of war. There was men and women of war in the 1776, and there's not a recognition. Women not only formulated cooking and helping and doing repairing of clothing, but there were women in 1776 that also fought beside their husband. So when I read to you this document, I'm going to add a word woman to it, because it is very important that in Volume 2, we wrote the equality of our nation. And our quality is that every man and woman had equal rights and fought equally in not only the Civil War, but in our receiving our own independence. To all the men and the women of America who lost so much of their lives fighting for the land of ours, you almighty men and women of God who stood up to the many enemies through your bodies have changed, your hearts have grown bigger. My God sees your heart because they are hearts after God, because you laid down your lives for the fellow men and women and children so that this land of ours would be free. So please don't give up and think as the world would tell you to think. Start praising God for what he has blessed you with. You are alive, and this is truly an unity of a blessing from God. Never ground or complain about what this is, could be, or our bodies are given to us for just a short time. When we ask Jesus into our heart and become born again and live for him, one day we will have a new body that is perfect, because we will be a spirit and have lived for eternity. And the key behind that, that people don't understand, that you were created before the creation was created. You were God, inside God, and part of God. When God took thousands of years to make the creation, it was a creation of equality. He then formulated Adam and Eve, and we became the children accordingly. Throughout the Bible, we find that there was wars between all the nations. Everybody that failed to follow God lost the wars. They did not conquer what they wanted in the land. And we saw in the Bible that many of these people failed, and the earth opened accordingly. Well, when we took revenge against a country to separate ourselves, and we then formulated our position as the freedom that we were to receive, and we became independent accordingly, and God gave us a divine protection. Many people refer to the Day of Independence as the 4th of July. In fact, many people write 4th of July, also known as the Independence Day. And this has been a federal holiday in the United States since 1941. But the tradition of Independence Day celebration goes back to 18th century and the American Revolution. On July the 2nd, 1776, the Continental Congress voted in favor of independence. And 2 days later, delegates from the 13 colonies adopted the Declaration of Independence, a historic document drafted by Thomas Jefferson. From 1776 to the present day, July the 4th has been celebrated as the birth of American independence, with ranging from fireworks, parades, concerts, to more casual family gatherings and barbecues. The 4th of July, 2023, is this day of tomorrow. When initial battles in the Revolution War broke out in April 1775, few colonies desired complete independence from Great Britain, and those who did were considered radical. By the middle of the following year, however, many more colonists had came to the favor of independence, thanks to the growing hostilities against Britain and the speed of revolutionary sentiments, such as the expression in the books and pamphlets Common Sense, published by Thomas Paine in early 1776. On June the 7th, when the Continental Congress met in the Philadelphia State House, a later Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the Virginia delegates, Richard Henry Lee, introduced a motion calling for this colonist independence and heated debate. Congress postponed the vote on Lee's resolution, but appointed a five-man committee, including Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, John Adams of Massachusetts, Roger Sherman of Connecticut, Thomas Jefferson of Philadelphia, and Robert R. Livingston of New York, to draft a formal statement justifying the break with Great Britain. Did you know that John Adams believed that the July the 7th or the 2nd was the correct day for which to celebrate the birth of America, and would reportedly turn down invitations accordingly? It should also be noted by coincidence that Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died on July the 4th, 1826, the 50th anniversary. It's interesting how we're seeing that we have forgotten where we're at and where we're going, Sally. And I'm going into prayers to open the door for the discussion of what people are talking about and where they're going. Father God in the heavenly above, you look down upon the nations. Father God, the shining of your hand and the angels that are coming upon us. Father God, the United States of America had decreased to under 40% of believers of who you are and how you created. People do not understand, Father God, we are the creation of you, and our independence accordingly were by you. Father God, there would not be an independence. We would not have won the battle against had we not believed in you totally. That's why, Father God, the Declaration of Independence and the things that we speak about and the words that we use must include you. Many people, Father God, don't understand the uprisings that we're having in the United States. This is not about the fact that genders believing in same sex or who they are. This is about our political parties trying to destroy the nation of America. Equality, Father God, is one of the key words. Every person, man, woman, are equal, and the Lord's blessings came upon them. Many people in the Constitution, and we covered this in the Bible, have forgotten the equality in the words of who we are, Father God. We come to you today. We lay our hands upon tomorrow. Yesterday is gone, Father God, and today our time is preparation and what we do in celebration for tomorrow. I'm asking that all the people that are listening don't work the way that the people are trying to do. It is not the celebration of fireworks where your money goes to China. It's not the celebration of the food where your money is enriching the banks and you're taking it out of your pockets. Tomorrow of celebration and the grace and the glory of God is about you, Father God, and the blessings that you put upon us and our nations. Allow us tomorrow, Father God, take hours, not minutes, not seconds, but hours of praying and thanksgiving and receiving the great blessings that come upon us. The United States of America and the equality of our 50 states and our nations and our territories understand the republic A republic is that each state stands as itself as a nation. And Father God, allow them to change their direction, to remove themselves from the educational programs that are set forth by the federal government. Remove ourselves from the negativism that we were because of our rights under the Declaration of Independence. We have equality, Father God, and the grace and the glory of God you have given us. We accept it accordingly. There's listeners tonight, one of which will be born again. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost will arise from the stomach of that individual. The Holy Ghost will take over the body of that individual. The feeling of the blessing of God will arise above that individual. That individual is only one. One person is all it takes to change the direction of the nations. We see in the Bible, Father God, we see in the history, one person changed the nations. Whether we want to talk about the writer of the Bible, Apostle Paul, who was a lawyer, who was crucifying Christians, who became judgmental and then became the leader and wrote 80% of the New Testament. Or we go back to any of the other people that worked in the Bible and led accordingly. We can speak, Father God, about the history. But there's a new individual, whether it's a man or a woman, Father God, which you will choose to lead the nations. Father God, we thank you for this day of our blessings and our teaching accordingly. Now we will allow, Father God, the speakers to speak, the listeners to listen, the students to learn, and the people that we know, Father God, you're going to change the direction of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Tolbert. The what I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, and I sent you just a little bit of info. We haven't gone into all the details yet, but I want to start, well, I'm calling it a Bible campaign, because, you know, as Reagan said, if we cease to be one nation under God, we will be a nation gone under. And I think that's where we are right now, because way too many people are not, we're not a nation, one nation under God. The people have lost a faith. They have turned away. And a lot of it has been through the various public education, taking God out of school and not allowing God to be said in the public square, and even be people who get in trouble for saying the Pledge of Allegiance or God Bless America. There are all these different things that have happened to our culture by the evildoers who would like to destroy us, which is what Washington talked about all the time in his farewell address. There's going to be those who want to take away what you have. You must always defend it. So I thought, you know, this is definitely part of it. If right now, our country is dying. We're falling. The only way I think we survive is through the divine intervention. We definitely need some help. We need help from God, and we have to be the ones asking for it. We have to be the ones promoting that we truly are one nation under God, and what our beliefs are, why we should continue to be a free people versus taken over by a communist regime and a world order and all these other things that are happening. So this Bible campaign that I kind of came up with the idea for, it's a work in progress, so I'll take some feedback from others and any suggestions. You know, when we see the wrongs, the extreme wrongs, we're not talking about a difference of opinion, we're talking about evilness, okay? Evilness is definitely out there. What's happening to this country? Evilness, the treasonous traitors. When you're a treasonous traitor, you are an evil person. If you don't believe in the Constitution and the Declaration of the United States, independence of the United States, that's fine. Find a country that you believe in. You don't have to be an American. If you don't believe as we do, if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in one nation under God, and God we trust, you don't believe in the core fundamentals that our rights are from our Creator, whatever it may be, you should find a country that aligns more to what you believe and go there. You shouldn't try to destroy our foundation, which is what's happening. We've allowed people to, because we're an open society, a free society, we believe in free will, we've allowed people to take over. We've allowed evilness to come in. Allowed evilness to say, no, you don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in the Constitution. You can be a Supreme Court justice who doesn't believe in the Constitution. How does that happen? There's something just crazy. So anyway, as I see this decline, moral decline throughout, you know, the judges, those elected to public office, those who are supposed to be serving the public interest kind of thing. But what could we do to try to call this out? What can we do to assist these people? Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to interject. Yeah, you know, volume two, if you have an opportunity to read the 600 and some pages, is exactly saying what you are saying. And we're now in 45 countries, and we're PDF filing in Pakistan, in India, in Syria, in Africa, in Cambodia, and Thailand. And we find that these countries had a low volume of Christianity, have now over thousands of people that are working with us, and we're teaching in these countries. We sent these books to different people like Hillsdale University, Trump, many people that we've sent them to. But it's actually our campaign is, if people go to calltoduty.org and see Systematic Theology, Volume 1, Volume 2, and we're now at the editor with Volume 3, we actually are doing exactly what you're saying. We have a campaign of changing directions. Now, in the day of the olden days of the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were people that had an assignment, and their assignment was to put together writings of, first started out verbally, and then they were translated by one person to another person to another person. They then became in writings. Well, what we're doing is we're looking at today and the integration of the Constitution, the biblical power, the worship of God, and our campaign. People ask me, I have a doctorate degree in philosophy, a PhD. I just got it. So funny, in June, I was awarded my PhD. I got a doctorate degree in education in 2010 from NOVA and two masters. And it's funny that God took me, sent me to school, educated me, had me write the books, had me get editors, had me do this. Then he waits to a certain time to transfer what I'm doing. Now, I could have went to a college or to a school, and I could have made hundreds, thousands of dollars as an educator, as a principal of a school, as a district supervisor. All my documents, all my education gives me that right. But God said to me, don't do that, Charles. You are going to write and put together a change of the United States of America. You are going to bring them back together. Be patient. Do what you're doing. So your word of campaigning is my word of a mission. So an apostle in the Bible is a messenger. A campaigning person is a messenger. So I'm messaging all 50 states. I'm messaging all 195 countries. I'm not stuck to one place. I'm being committed by God to change the direction of 195 countries and territories. Now, you imagine, I may never be recognized in 20 years, as was not many people in the biblical power. It was 100, 200, 300 years before they were recognized, and then the colonies and everything were changed. Our responsibility is, don't look at your success today, but look at the preparation that you're doing today in order to impact the nations tomorrow. And tomorrow is a day that everybody thinks, well, it's the 4th of July or it's Independence Day. Tomorrow is another day, another day, another day. I'm asking, I'm praying, and I'm talking to all the listeners. You are responsible, not I. You're responsible to change your viewpoint of who you are and bring yourself back to God. If you don't convert yourself back to God, I will guarantee you the earth will open up and there will be a destruction in the United States, because individuals to do their responsibility. California will fall into the sea. Florida, New York will fall into the sea in 100 years if we fail to do what we're doing, Sally. We have to pray. Campaigning messengers, campaigning messengers, individuals putting together the grace and glory of God accordingly, Sally.
Well, and that ties into the other part, because this is my plan, campaign, whatever you want to call it, is a two-part where – individuals, when you see the evilness, when you see certain people, just the gross evilness of what they're doing, and some of these judges and things, that we need to somehow reach out to them. And the Bible was one. And then I was going to ask you, talk to you, how we can also get your information to them, your book. Now, obviously, you can't afford all this, so we can maybe come up with a plan to help send something to you, asking you to send the book to them, or however we might be able to send them your information too, because we've got to reach out to these people whose minds have been corrupted by this evilness. And that's I call it corruption because I don't know what else you really call it, the indoctrination of two generations, basically, one to two generations, and this total insanity of what they're doing. It's ungodly and it's evil. Everything to do with this transgender, it's all about destroying the culture. And people have to understand, it's destroying the culture to take down the country. It's the unrestricted war, if you want to call it that kind of thing. There's no boundaries. Killing people with fentanyl, killing people with COVID, all these different things are happening. And we've got people who are in places to make the changes we need, but they seem confused, if I can use that word, confused, and they seem to have lost focus on who they are, what they are, you know. And if you took an oath, and if you can't take the oath as taking an oath under God and then also swearing to uphold, I mean, they take this oath, and some people, my understanding is they haven't taken the oath, and they almost did it like it was part of a game, that they weren't creating some violation of their duties, that kind of thing, but the majority of people in public office did swear to take an oath and under God and whatever, to do what they're supposed to do. They're not doing it. And some of those who have taken the Quran or whatever else to believe in God, they believe in Allah. Allah is their God, whatever else. And their God says that the United States is bad and they should destroy it. So somehow they've taken an oath to be part of Congress or part of some public office to destroy America. I mean, this is really how sick some of us have gotten out there. Yeah, it's bad. So we've got to reach out to these people to try to do something. This is just an idea of what I was coming up with. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I totally understand, you know, the Masons and the majority of the presidents of the United States have laid their hand on the Bible as Masons to go against the biblical standards and the conversations we got of the number of individuals assigned the Constitution. The Muslims are absolutely not allowed to be a citizen or be in the United States, because clearly in the Constitution it says when you take the oath of being a citizen that you will 100% follow the Constitution. And failure for you to follow the Constitution, you're to be evicted from the territories and the states of the United States of America. Now, equality is that all people are equal that follow the Constitution. So people don't understand. Equality is all individuals who follow the Constitution. Your failure to follow the Constitution means you have no equality and you're relieved from your situation of being a person in the United States of America, because you must do accordingly. It clearly states that. Now, biblically, Hillsdale University and places, we order 10 books a month. Some we give away. We've given away to senators. We've given away to Trump. We've given it away to universities. We've given it away to the Catholic priest up in Palm Bay, Florida, who acknowledged the receipts of the book. And they prayed over them. We gave away to an African-American ministry in Texas who writes and reads and does by what we're doing. So we can give away at our own cost, you know, 5 every month. Now, the cost of the books, if people order the 2 volumes, and volume 3 won't be finished until the end of the year, people would pay probably $70, and we're delivering them by just covering the cost of $50. We're also using the Farrell Fenton Bible, and people that buy the Farrell Fenton Bible would pay $80-$90. I get copies directly from the publisher, and I sell them for $35 for plus shipping. Now, the Farrell Fenton Bible, is a 50-year-old Bible, not 50-year-old, but Farrell Fenton took 50 years and hundreds of individuals to translate all the original documentations, where the King James Bible was made up from five other Bibles, and they were then misrepresented. So many of the Bibles that people are reading today aren't getting the foundation. Now, yeah, I have a master's degree in divinity. I have a doctorate degree in philosophy. I'm writing books and teaching, but I do it different. We're teaching by audio. We're teaching by video. We're sending and doing things. But to take America and to reestablish the United States of America, and when you look at, it's important. Book number one is 200-300 pages, and it teaches you how to find yourself and how to know how you relate to God. That's book number one. Book number two is saying, how do I understand the United States Constitution, the amendments, the articles, the declarations, the equality? How do I understand Sharia law? How do I understand the Torah? How do I understand Jewish situations of the five books of the beginning of the Bible? How do I understand? This is taking all the things that we're talking about, putting together and focusing. Now, it takes 2 years for people to read this book of 600 pages. And people say, why 2 years? When you take a doctorate degree or when you go to school, it takes you 2 years. So when you read one of these books, you take a page, you read it, you take notes, you put on it, you do your homework, you submit at the end of your time, and you get a certificate of graduation. So we're now taking people and giving diplomas for people that say, I've taken my year, I've taken my 2 years, here's my paperwork, here's my 10 pages, here's my contradiction, here's my agreement. So we are now actually changing our position to where people are reading the books, giving answers, updating us, and transforming yourself. So campaigning is to reach a higher order. To be a messenger means that we're teaching you, giving you a message, and you then become the next one to change the direction. So how do we facilitate the getting American people to reorganize themselves? Now, we're a 501c4.
Okay, let me cut in real quick here. Though one question that Joe put out there in the chat, and I think Joe wants to talk a little bit about this, is when did God need a publisher? And just to kind of go back, and I don't know if you heard part of what I was saying a few minutes ago, Joe, is that I'm calling it a Bible campaign, because we have a lot of people in public office and judges who seem to have lost their way and don't understand that we are one nation under God and what they're supposed to be doing and that type of thing. So I kind of, I'm the one who's kind of started this idea. Well, Dr. Tolbert's been doing some other things, as he was saying, but I put it out there to say, maybe we need to start educating these people in public office a little bit more about what the Bible is, because we were founded as one nation under God. Our Creator gives us our rights and this kind of thing. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and open the line for Joe.
Well,
go ahead and say what you want to say, and then Joe can join in.
If we follow what Joe said, there's no Bible, so I'm just going to leave it there. The publication of the biblical power of the Bible is nothing more than what we have to do each and every day. So just the grace and the glory of God, and I won't get into any contradiction. I will not get into any arguments. People want to say what they want to say. All I'll say, amen. Go ahead, Sally.
Joe, you there? Go ahead.
Yeah. No. That's fine. But it's okay for you to bring your standpoint and your historical and perspective to the platform. But that's fine. But don't expect that people will just go along with it. You have to back it up somehow. I mean, you just can't make claims and to something and then not back it up. I mean, you know, you said the King James Bible. The King James Bible is the remarks towards it about the King James Bible, when in fact the King James Bible is the divine, pure word of God. It's the seventh translation that was foretold in the book of Psalms, okay? And the translators that translated the King James Bible, the Textus Receptus manuscripts, the Vaticus Canus, all the translations and translators, this was all done and researched. The King James Bible is the seventh translation of God's word. And as far as God does not need a publisher, and it's the only also Bible that does not have a publisher also, by the way. God's word is authentic, and God doesn't need a publisher to publish his word. God publishes his word. And if your God can't do that, then put him in a paper bag and he can't get out. You know, so
I think you might be jumping ahead. Dr. Tolbert has his books he's got published. So, I mean, I think there might be, I'm not sure if we're going down the wrong path about the publishing of the Bible. The discussion is to share the Bible. And
yeah, but oh,
Dr.
Sally.
Has
oh yeah, Sally. And with your remark there, that that's good what you're doing. But you have to remember, rightly divide the word as a workman approves unto God. You can't teach false doctrine and expect the country to be blessed. You have to teach the right way. Also, you just can't say with God any way necessary, any shape, form that opens us up to all. Hey, why not? Let's worship with the Catholics. Let's worship with the Muslims. Hey, let's pray with Buddha. Why not? Right? We're all one. Well, one world religion. Religion, right? One God. You know, why not? No. There's only one sovereign God. That's it. And there's no Buddha. There's no Pope on a rope. The Pope, the Apostolic Ascension, that went out the window when the last apostle died. The Pope, the Vatican is a corrupt, evil institution. Read David Hunt's Woman That Rides the Beast. Goes into the Catholic Church very clearly and thoroughly. Go to the Alberto story, a Jesuit priest that defected from the Vatican, tells about the Vatican. So we can go on and on and on. We want to talk about Joseph Smith, and you want to go into the Mormons. I've studied world religion. That's right up my field. What this gentleman is saying is false if he's saying claiming to be an apostle, okay? So he has no apostolic powers. So if that's what he's claiming, I could be wrong. But, I don't know what he's claiming. So that's why the impression I got. So I'll yield.
Okay, Dr. Tolbert?
Sally, I'm not going to get into a discussion. My comment was the Farrell Fenton Bible is the Bible that I use, that the King James Bible was a utilization of five translations, and King James wanted to get a divorce. I'm not going to say which Bible is greater than another one. I'm not going to say which is worse than the other. I'm only saying the one I use is Farrell Fenton. As far as what people think of the fivefold ministry and the Trinity, that is their position, not mine. The fivefold ministry is the apostle, the messenger, the pastor, the prophet, the teacher, and the evangelist. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. People want to be argumentative against or for that is based on their knowledge of their background and their teaching. Whether a person is correct or incorrect is not my position. I'm not going to go for, and I'm not going to go against a person that speaks. In our documents, we get two pages from the readers of our books that give us a contradiction. They don't agree. They have an issue with it. They want to teach us something. So we could be the teacher. We could have our doctorate degree and our PhDs, but we're students. So when people read, like Joe does, and people give us comments, we listen to their comments. We become the student. A strong teacher never, ever is the only teacher. A student is also a teacher. So what Joe is teaching tonight, people listen to it. Come up to your position. If you're born again, you'll know the truth and you'll know the false. Always know God's position for you. If someone disagrees that you're born again, if someone disagrees of the fivefold ministry, that's their issue. Never go against them, Sally.
Well, that's it. And, you know, Joe, I guess, it's no problem to have a slightly difference of opinion or the approach or whatever is what we're talking about here. But the couple of things I want to ask you, obviously we're talking about Independence Day. We're not supposed to be celebrating July 4th. It's about our independence and what the role God plays in this country. And how do we overcome this evilness that has taken over so much of our government, which is and our society in general, not just strictly the government, our society, what has taken over, and how do we try to change it? And that's what I'm trying to do, is figure some way to get us back into the graces of God. And also, what does Independence Day mean to you? And, you know, obviously you're running
for
office.
Okay, well, you can't fix the country because you're fixing something the wrong way. Okay, you're trying to fix it by means of vote. You think you're going to vote in these people and they're going to fix this country. You can't, because it's a corporation. You have to restore the republic. You have to restore the organic constitution. So what we're doing is we're making broker. You're putting a Band-Aid on something, and that's like with God and the Bible. If you're not going to teach sound doctrine and you're not going to apply scripture historically, doctrinally, and inspirationally, okay, and you're not going to rightly divide the word, okay, like God instructs you to do, and compare scripture with scripture, because beware of false teachers and false prophets. I mean, you know, many will come in Christ's name saying, hey, I'm Christ, you know. So you have to be careful. You have to beware. And that's where the sickness comes in. So independence, we have to break away independently from this corporation. We have to reject this corporation. Dissolve all contracts you possibly can with this corporation. As much civil disobedience as we can with this corporation, and get back to lawful government. If a candidate that you're going to elect in your district or in the country is not expounding upon restoring the Constitution and restoring our republic, then he's no good. Just get rid of them. Well, you know, you can actually vet these guys and find out what they're all about. Are they talking about ending the Federal Reserve? Are they talking about bringing back our republic and restoring our republic and lawful de jure government? If they're not, then they're just a mouthpiece for the Federal Reserve, and you're kicking the can down the road. So we have to become independent again and break away, like the founders did. The founders, when they had their convention there, okay, they did that in secret. You know, the whole country wasn't involved in that. That was just right. The founders, because there was only so many, the 3% less than 3%. There was people out there ready to sell them out and have them hung. You know, so you had to be like us today. We've got to be careful. They'll come after us and lock us up, right? And it's going to get worse. So we have to endure and rejoice in our tribulations and endure and stand up and stand and fight the good fight. If we're not going to do that, we're not willing to sacrifice like the founders, then forget it. We're kicking the can again, like I said before, down the road.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't argue that point. It's about, most people don't understand the corporation, so that's a big part of the education process out here too. And so I totally know where you're coming from on that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, most people don't know it, and most people don't. Let's face it, they don't truly know the right questions to even ask these candidates. We've been the public at large has been so brainwashed between public education and through the media, trying to break them of that. We have to reprogram people. That's what's happening here. And people, I don't think Nathan has mentioned this several times on the show. And you know, when people have been trained, raised, educated, whatever, to believe on this one thing, they are so convinced that government should do everything for us. We have this one or two generations of Marxists out there. They truly believe that government should tell us. Well, government told us to wear a mask, even though, of course, it's bad for us and breathing and everything else. And they also told us to take a vaccine. Of course, it's going to render people sterile and unable to reproduce, and also going to kill people with heart attacks and things, but that's okay, but because government told us to do this. So we are having to undo the insanity that's out there in the general population, if you will. And then I want to mention there was one other question from Brother Warren out there. He was putting out there, and this would be a question for Dr. Tolbert. There are 4 Muslim members of Congress, so does he believe they shouldn't be serving in Congress? And I will answer my question first. I would probably, if they don't believe in God, they don't believe in the Constitution, they don't believe in what their oath means nothing to them,
yes.
What are they taking an oath to? That is
I agree.
The key. But that, so it, if they're not going to truly serve the Constitution and the word of this country, then no, they don't belong there. And I got Joe just chimed in that he agrees, and Dr. Tolbert, you're more than welcome to respond to that. And then I see we have another caller out there. So, Dr. Tolbert, any comments on the Muslims? Yeah.
No, first I want to start with what Joe said. I totally agree with. I don't disagree. And secondly, that we already covered the fact that no Muslim is allowed to be in the United States of America. If they're not allowed to be in the United States, why are they allowed to be in our House of Representatives? Why are they allowed to be in our Senate? Why are they allowed to be in our state offices if they're not even allowed to be in this country? So we, the American people, have to take a position to ask the people, do you follow your biblical books? If you do, you then contradict the United States Constitution. And therefore, we are taking away your citizenship. Goodbye. End of subject.
Yeah, and the one other question, and this is probably New Orleans out there who's got his hand up. Then I hear a lot of religious prejudice on here. I think he meant here, not as in hearing here. Is that a patriotic thing? I'm just asking. Now, of course, that's a silly thing. And, and before I open the mic, because, again, I believe that's going to be Brother Warren out there, I want to know to Brother Warren a simple question. Do you believe and support the United States of America, the Declaration of Independence? Do you believe in that founding document or you don't? Do you believe in the Constitution or you don't? If you hate America, why don't you try to find someplace you'd be happy? Which I've asked you that question in the past, if that's the case, because you mentioned something about your tomorrow you're going to be doing something as far as your communism or something. You're going to be learning Chinese, okay? And that's probably a good idea. I would probably say most Americans probably should learn Chinese because we pretty much sold our country to them. So that's probably not a bad idea. But and I don't know whether you just try to stir people up, whether you truly believe this. I really don't know at times what to make of Brother Warren, where he's coming from. At times I think he tries to just stir things up, which is good because it gets the discussion going, makes people think. But if you really hate America the way it sounds like, I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you don't find another country that would be more suitable to what you believe in. I don't think everybody in this country should change because you don't believe in America. You know, that's kind of that. But anyway, let's see if this is Brother Warren, who's got his hand up out there right now. And anybody else wants to join, go ahead and call in and push the one so I know you want to talk. Caller, is that you, Brother Warren?
Well, Sally, I want to greet you. Ni hao. Ni hao is Chinese for hello. And my little granddaughter is taking Chinese at her school, and so she teaches me some of that. But I've decided to go ahead and start following. There are a lot of good courses on YouTube where you can learn languages. So I found a good channel on YouTube to first learn the Chinese tones. But what I want to say is I want to twist the statement you make at the end of your show every week. You say, I love my country, but it's the government I'm afraid of. But let me twist that around. I, Brother Warren, love my country, but it's Sally's show I'm afraid of. Because what I've heard so far in the conversations, I heard a lot of religious prejudice. Now, if Dr. Tolbert is so certain that these four Muslim congresspersons shouldn't serve, I'd like to know what the conservative Supreme Court say. You see, America has diverse people, and this is the way it's going to be forever. So if those don't like it, they should go live somewhere else. They should find somewhere else to live. And I think that this using the Constitution to justify making people be cookie cutters of everybody else, I don't even see with a constitution that those founding fathers, who I'm not a fan of, put together, I don't think they wanted to be bound by no state religion themselves, because you had the Church of England, okay, and then many of those founding fathers, some of the elite, were Church of England, and then it becomes what we call Episcopalian, but they didn't want no state religion. It sounds like Dr. Tolbert is trying to impose some sort of religion that everybody in America should have to follow to be an American citizen. I don't think that that's constitutional. I don't think that those guys that set this up would be for that. Even Thomas Jefferson had a Quran. So even he was more open and reading.
Dr. Talbert backed me up
on that historical fact. Thomas Jefferson had a Quran, right, Dr. Talbert?
Hold on one second. I'm going to chime in, and then I'll let Dr. Talbert and I'll let Joe comment, too. He did have the Quran. In fact, it was Jefferson, the Tripoli pirates, you may remember them. It was Jefferson who said, every American should read the Quran. They need to understand the element that's against us. He thinks it should be required reading to understand. If you, in fact, follow the Quran, you will do whatever, the totally unrestricted war kind of thing. You will do whatever to take down the other. That's the gist of it. So, yes, he understands. Okay,
but say one more comment
on that, then we're going to let Joe and Dr. Tony respond.
Those guys, those founding fathers, were more intellectual, and they were more cosmopolitan in their thought than some of these so-called conservatives today who don't read, don't know history, fantasize and falsify history, and use the American Constitution and patriotism as a cover for their little bubble. Thomas Jefferson was more sophisticated than these guys today. Even though he was a slave owner, he was more cosmopolitan and educated than some of these people talking this patriotic and Constitution stuff.
Hey, well, Dr. Talbert, you want to respond, and then we'll go to Joe?
No, I'm always appreciating listening to ignorant people, Sally, so go ahead and talk to Joe.
Hey, Joe, your response to
the phrase separation of church and state appears nowhere in the Constitution. The founding fathers saw nothing wrong with having religion in American culture. According to all experts, okay, while Congress is prohibited from enacting a state religion, the founding document says nothing about banishing religion from the public square, okay? And professors like Mark Levine from Life, Liberty, and Levine, Professor Michael McConnell, many will back me up on that. The words separation of church and state are not in the Constitution. I think this is a shorthand version of what the Establishment Clause means. He added nothing, noting the passage in the Constitution that reads, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It does have a deep history because there were, in the 18th century, prominent writers who openly advocated for a union between church and state. There's actually a famous essay by one of the bishops in the Church of England by that very title. And our framers did not believe in a union between church and state. The Stanford law professor continues to add, founders instead wanted to protect against government control of religion and that they did not object to symbols of faith being present in the public square. And that's self-evident because we had it all over our courthouses and our schools, remember? And now it's been eliminated because of people like Warren, because they twist it around. They don't know what separation of church and state really meant.
My only interjection, Sally, that's covered in Volume 2, exactly what he just said. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and that's the whole point. It just drives me crazy when people try to totally twist what Jefferson was saying about the church and state, separation of church and state, and about the Quran. It's so sad. But this kind of goes back to the element that we're fighting here when it comes to understanding the truth of the history. People, you can get, if you want to call it brainwashed, the indoctrination of people, the confusion. Have we learned any history incorrectly? What is the real history? I guess some people can debate what the real history is, but I definitely do believe the founding fathers were going against the grain of the king, and they wanted freedom. They wanted the right to believe. And it was, Brother Warren said, the Jefferson was an intellect. He was the one who said, if you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and never will be. And he read. He studied. He was a master study. And he studied the Quran to understand the other side. Was that you, Brother Warren, saying something?
I wanted to ask a question to all the panelists here. How many of you have ancestral ties to colonial America? I do, on both my European side and my African side. I have ties to colonial America. So I have a stake in this conversation. But how many of you have ties, ancestral ties to colonial America?
Anyone who declares to be an American citizen who loves this country and believes in our republic, that's our tie right there. We don't need to prove any bloodlines.
When did your folks get to North America?
I don't know. July 2nd, last year. What difference does it make? I'm an American citizen.
Well,
I believe in the Constitution.
Well, I think I'm more American than you.
Oh, boy. Division.
This is where at times I don't know how serious to take Brother Warren when he says things like this. Like my father. On my father's side, it was his grandmother, my great grandmother, who came to America. So whatever year that would have been when they came, and when they came to America, they were told they had to speak English. They could not go around speaking Portuguese. They had to speak English. They had to assimilate. They had to become, if you want to be an American, be an American. If you don't, you don't have to stay here. That was it. Now, on my mother's side, there wasn't even another generation back. So, I mean, I've had several generations. Were any of my, myself, I don't know of any direct heritage to any of the founding fathers. Who knows? Maybe if I go back far enough, maybe there is. I don't know. Listen now. You ask a question, I'm answering. We did not just jump off the boat yesterday, if that's what you're saying. You know, that's not the case with my family. We've been here for quite a while.
Let me tell you the advantage I have over all of you here on this panel.
Tonight he's a national socialist.
I have ancestral ties to colonial Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Maryland on both European ancestry side and African ancestry side. So the experience of America from colonial times to now runs through my veins. Some of you all,
but
you seem
to hate
it.
Why do you hate America?
Because I don't understand what America.
Why are you here?
First of all, you've never heard me say hate America. That's words you're putting in my mouth because I disagree with you all. You all have a tendency, you've admitted you're pro-communism.
Pro-Marxist, pro-communism.
I appreciate Marxist critique of capitalism. That's what I've always said. I appreciate Marxist is an honest critique of capitalism.
The fact that America is based on a capitalist society and a free society, you don't like it. Do you want us to be a communist
The capitalist society has exploited American people of all walks of life and continues to exploit people and rob the state's coffers for the elite wealthy who don't want to be put in check by government.
Well, and, you know, there is something I will definitely agree that what has happened, and it's happened because the American people, dumbing down education and the other things we talked about earlier, we're not a free society today. We are not a capitalist society today. You need to understand we are now a fascist society. Government is dictating to us through corporations. So we're not a free market. I mean, we have little bits and pieces of it. Excuse me, we have bits and pieces of it, but when you have things like ESG out there, and that's the environmental social governance where they're going to control your money, if your corporation doesn't hire so many transgenders and all these other things, you're not going to be approved for the loan, and all these other crazy things that they're doing, that it, we're not a free, we are not a free market anymore. We are fascist. There's definitely the fascist. Let me finish. How did the fascism take over? It's the public-private partnerships, because people, that was the brainwashing of it all. We have to understand, excuse me, that there were always evil doers. Go back to Washington's address. He has put us out there on notice. You must always be ready to defend. There will always be those who want to destroy. Who will? George Soros. Why does George Soros, with all the money he's got, why does he care about America? Why is he so determined to kill the American culture? Why does he want that? He's always wanted it. He's a billionaire. He's the white supremacist that the liberals say they don't like, but yet they always like, they like to take his money. It's just insane.
The fact that we
are a fascist society today. We are not a free market society today. If you were going to go and rate our market today, I would have to say at least 50%, maybe more, is truly fascist, where it's government, public-private partnerships controlling the private sector. You don't have a private sector when government is in partnership with the private sector. hypocritical. This is a opposite. It can't be true. You cannot be a free society if government is a partnership of it and controlling it. That's fascism / communism, and this is Marxism in place. So if you like what's going on right now, this is truly Marxism. Marxism wanted government to control the business. I'm sorry, Dr. Tolbert going to say something?
Dr. Tolbert, I just did a DNA on myself, which is relevant or non-relevant, but 27% of my DNA is Africa, and 30% is the territory around Eastern Europe. So there's a interesting factor that if some people take a DNA based on their skin color or their judgment, they will find that they may be more of America, and I'm more of Africa. So at the beginning of time, Africa was formulated by God, and God put together all members of his body in Africa, and I relate to the beginning of time where God structured the world, and I am proud of being from my destinations. America is the country founded as the second Jerusalem. We are the foundation of the beginning of the change of the world, but we had to come from the beginning of Adam and Eve. If people want to be argumentative against the biblical power, and they want to formulate themselves because of their own standard, they can say what they want. No man should disagree or agree with any speaker today. Everybody should take their own position and formulate where they are and how they are doing. So whether I agree or disagree with the speakers is not relevant. What is relevant, I am born again. I am a member of the body of Christ, and I am teaching in more countries. People talk about professors. I am a professor. I have a PhD in philosophy. I have a doctorate degree in education. If you want to bring about someone who's more intelligent, I've read all the books on theology. I'm totally against the people that have written books on theology. My books are based on different standards, but it's my position, not yours. And if you don't like my position, don't read my book. I really don't care, because my books are for those that are assigned to read them, not assigned by me, but you have to make your own decisions. So I lay my blessings upon you all, and I'll do a closing prayer tonight, but purposely and intentionally, I have no comment for or against any of the speakers tonight, Sally, so I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
Okay. Joe, any comments you want to share with Brother Warren?
Brother Warren... Again, he won't be honest about what he believes and where he stands as far as America goes, and what political science background he's trying to expound upon, or what he's trying to figure out. He comes in. Let me finish. He comes in and with a knife to cut up everything and divide us. And there's no unity in any of the conversation. I mean, last night he attacked the libertarians. You know, so I don't understand what he's trying to gain or what he's trying to do. We're here trying to come up with solutions to fix this country, not divide it and destroy it. So, again, until he comes forward and says, hey, this is what I stand for and I believe, then he's suspect.
Well, Joe, if you listen to any of over my hundreds of shows that are archived, you'll know what I stand for. What I don't stand for are the things that you say and profess, that Dr. Talbert says and profess, that Sally says and profess. I enjoy coming into your space to interface with you guys to understand what it is you all are articulating or attempt to articulate, because it teaches me, it gives me better insight into how people are thinking in the American landscape, because I'm not insecure. I'm very secure in what I believe in. I'm very well versed in history, American and world history. Now, let me say this to Dr. Talbert. Now, Dr. Talbert, I would be impressed with your education if you could read to me the Bible in Hebrew and Greek. If you have not developed fluency in Hebrew and Greek in your theological studies, you may need to go and get those courses.
Dr. Talbert can answer that if you want.
And that's Koine Greek. That's Koine Greek.
Okay, hold on. Let him speak.
Yeah, translated 50 years with hundreds of people, the Hebrew and Greek. And unfortunately, I only speak Spanish, German, Russian, and English. So you know the word Ad Wiedersehen or Ata Ata or Tiamora or Gracias Dios or any of these words, that is your position. God will be accordingly, and I'm glad your education is taking you in your direction. And when you say to somebody on the show tonight that God lifted you up, then I want to see tonight as I speak, I feel the body of Christ inside me. I feel the body of Christ indwelling. I feel myself being lifted up. And God tells me never be argumentative, because it's not my position. If somebody does not agree with you, it'll be God, not me. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Talbert. One other thing I kind of want to go back on, as we were talking about the capitalism and free market stuff, there was a comment out in the chat in reference to BlackRock. And this, again, too, is all part of the takeover. It is not a free market with what BlackRock is out there doing. So if you prefer a Marxist, communist form of market government control, then that's where we're halfway there now, if maybe more than that. Because we are truly not a free market society today. There's no way. And if you want even more proof of that, you could say this thing and talk about what is an electric vehicle? Why do we have electric vehicles? Because if you're in a free market and the electric vehicles were really efficient and helped the environment and did everything good, people would go to them automatically. They wouldn't have to have government, once again, dictating to us that we can't have fuel combustion engines. So the government wants to control and limit our movement, even to that extent. So this is Marxism and communism, control over people. I don't believe in that. I want a free society. I know, I go back to the corporation. I'm hearing some background noise. I'm not sure who that is.
That was me by accident, sorry.
No, it's okay. The we can go the background of how this has all come about, how we the people, we failed to participate. We have to admit the fact we are the ones who failed to participate. We are the ones who allowed this takeover of this government. And are we going to do anything to stop it? Excuse me, which is what it comes down to. But then I was starting to say about the corporation. Because, yes, and that corporation is real. The 1871 corporation, I've done shows on it in the past. We're going to do another show on it in the near future. We have to understand how we sold between the U.S. corporation and things like President George H.W. Bush, who signed executive orders allowing foreign entities to come buy up America. So we literally put the United States of America on the chopping block to be for sale, selling infrastructure, selling all these things. It's really, we're exactly the kind of country that Brother Warren Schleich, because we're closer to a Marxist communist society than we are a free society today, and it's because we the people haven't paid attention. And we do have to understand what has happened as a corporation. And the conversation of sovereign citizen and this kind of stuff, what is a citizen versus a sovereign American, those are things I think we probably need to talk about too, because I'm an American. I believe in what the founding of this country was. The question is, how do we get back to where we're supposed to be? How do we restore, which is what Joe's show is all about, and again, we're trying to bring people on Blog Talk Radio together to help get this message out there, because if we don't all come together, united we stand, divided we fall.
Right.
Not my saying, but that's really it. United we stand. I personally have no doubt from all the people that I talk to, in the general scheme of things, more people believe in freedom than they do communism. However, because of a totally corrupt media and also the lack of education and a lack of religion, whatever true belief, core beliefs in the culture, we have gone so far off the rails here. We have our own government trying to kill us. You know that,
yeah.
Bill Gates is out there playing with a new virus through the mosquitoes, through malaria, whatever he's trying to do, whatever it is, Bill Gates thinks he's God. Bill Gates thinks it's his decision on who should live and die. And so does this government, really, when they're talking about the World Health Organization. Excuse me, they're playing God. There's definitely no free market in that stuff. This is what you call communism, Marxism. And going back to the cars, the 15-minute city we talked about briefly on one of the other shows, yeah, you're going to have to get a permit to travel. You're going to have to apply for a permit to travel. See, Marxism is and communism is already here, Warren. You should be happy. This should be the world you're always wanting. But it's not the world I want. And that's why I put my message out there that it's not what I want. I want to be independent. I want us to – what? And, you know, I want to ask everybody out there, and we're going to talk about it on some of the upcoming shows. We're going to be focusing some of these topics as election 2024, is where do these candidates stand in energy independence? Should America be independent? Should we be able to take care of ourselves? Or do they really want this one world order so that the United Nations truly becomes our government? Are we going to be a government of the United Nations? They're the ones who are going to dictate to us what we do. Or are we going to be a sovereign nation with a declaration of independence and have our own rights? That's going to be a big question. And the energy is going to be a key part of it. What do these candidates all believe? Does a candidate believe I have the right to own a car, a fuel car, combustion engine, and have the right to travel across this country wherever I want to go? Or do they believe they should control my travel, give me an electric vehicle with a little smart device on it? Oh, well, you've been naughty today. You can't go anywhere. Oh, you already went grocery shopping one day. You can't go there anymore. Because that's
right.
What is happening. And, of course, oh, by the way, that currency, you don't have any dollars anymore. Now, no, kind of like what Canada did to their truck drivers. No, you have
right.
Enough
yep.
money. You're not going
to. I want you to do this,
Sally. We are so close to that. And you should be so happy, Brother Warren, because Marxism and communism is almost here.
Well, I don't think that that's Marxism and communism you claim you're identifying. So I disagree with you. I don't think you understand what communism and Marxism and socialism is. I really don't think you know what
communism. Communism is everything owned in common. That's the word common. Think about the word common.
To you guys,
communism,
you guys,
everything
communism,
owned in common.
To you guys, communism is whatever is a different of view perspective from what you got. You all use call it communism. That's all it is. You don't understand what communism and Marxism and socialism is.
No,
that's why you call
everything owned
that.
In common. Communism,
yeah.
The word communism.
Warren,
you've
got
form.
Your own way of
everything
thinking. I mean, there's just nothing we can say to, you know, I mean, that's your way of thinking. It's just the, you're, you know, I don't know if you really
look,
believe this or you're just doing this. But.
Look, I was born in 1958. But early in the 50s when rock and roll music came out, that's what the whites were saying. That was communism infecting our children. Okay? It's all documented what was being said about rock and roll, people fighting for freedom because they couldn't vote or they couldn't go where they wanted. They were called communists. Why? Because they were upsetting the status quo called conservatives.
But there were many communists in the ranks in the file during that time. Communism was a very bad infection throughout the world at that time, but it's been defeated since.
That's Cold War rhetoric that you guys are still using.
Oh, well, Russia did exist.
Sally is an example. Every week on her show, everything and everybody that she doesn't like is communist, and she's not the only one. It's communist or socialism.
We agree with you. Anything that's anti-republic, anti-freedom is communist, Marxist,
that's
anti-American, and I'm against
it. Government control. I don't believe in fascism. Do you believe in fascism? Are you do you believe government should be in partnership with the private sector? That's what fascism is.
DeSantis believes in fascism. Ron DeSantis believes in fascism. That's what he's practicing now as governor.
You can say all you want to. Ron DeSantis, he's done some good things for the state of Florida, but he's done some pretty crappy things.
He's practicing fascism. He's using his government authority to censor what people read. To crack down on businesses, he's practicing fascism. That's a fascist.
Well, that's public-private partnership, and they all do it. Republicans, Democrats, and they all act like it's some wonderful thing, public-private partnerships. That's fascism. That's government control. And what is going on right now here in Florida, which I will be doing some show here in the next few weeks, this is because the federal government hands out money, this is fascism, hands out money to corporations to influence their behavior, and then Florida's doing their part in this, and what they're doing is they're converting massive, massive lands of agricultural land into useless solar farms that won't produce the energy we need, and they will also destroy the land, and they have no way to recycle the panels. So everything that they're doing with solar, it's all fascism. It's all all because the people who really truly want to take over this country, and they create the crisis, the New World Order, why we're having this green climate thing, because most of it, 99% of everything they say in reference to the environment and the climate is garbage. It's all to control a narrative and try to take over the will of the people. Just like COVID was all about taking over the people. You know, I never got the vax. I wouldn't do it. And the only time I wore a mask is when I went inside the door, through the doorway of the store, because it was a private entity and they had that right. And as soon as I got in there, I pulled it halfway down so I could breathe, because I really didn't think breathing through material was going to be good for me. So then I did it that way. And I do my best to not comply with the corruption and the anti-American insanity of what this government has become. I won't take a jab. I won't. I did once in my life. I had a flu vaccine, and what about Kennedy out there? Look what the Democrats are doing to Kennedy, who is definitely not what you would call the conservative of the Republican Party. But look what they're doing to him, all because he's challenging what they've done with these vaccines and how they've killed people.
Yep.
It's the insanity of it all. Go ahead, Joe. I've been talking for quite a while. Joe, go ahead.
No, I agree with what you said. It's just, but also, real quick, I just want to let everyone know that's listening. We are trying, you touched upon it a little bit. I don't know where most of the callers are, hopefully, but, you know, we need to be uniting here on the platforms, and we need to be coming up with solutions. We're going into our second week now with the Coalition, the Blog Talk podcast show host. We want to start making moves here where we get all our voices combined to go after a certain issue and see if we can make a difference, you know, or get put on some sort of platform or notice or some larger corporation notice what we're doing, because we need to make a voice for ourselves. So we have to get together and all attack a certain issue and see if we can make some noise. The Coalition of Blog Talk podcast show hosts that are coming together to make a change and to restore our republican freedom in this country and stop the corruption and expose corruption. That's what our job is, and that's what we're going to be doing. But we're going to do it as a coalition and together. So tonight, I've talked about it obviously on your show, and tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on my show, Restoring Our Republic, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it's important that we remember we're trying to do something very good here. We need to continue that march forward.
Okay. And that's ultimately it. If you believe in the Declaration, if you go back and, you know, I haven't really even gone into it yet. I will plan on mentioning a few of the specific things. Go back and look at the Declaration, all the reasons why we wanted freedom and then see how many of these things are violated today. Because right now, I would say the majority of what the reason why we were fighting or wanting to separate from the king are the same reasons why we have to restore this republic, because we're not where we're supposed to be. We are really back in the same place we were on January 3rd of 1776.
That's we got one other caller now,
Brother Warren. You can I'll give you a chance here, but looks like I have John out there wanting to chime in, so I'm gonna let John. But go ahead and add a comment, then I'll get John on. Okay. Well, okay. Brother Warren didn't want to say anything. Bye, Sally.
No. I thought you were just putting the call on.
Okay, one other comment in reference to Brother Warren saying something about, and it's true, I love my country. It's the government I am afraid of. And the government, we the people are supposed to be the sovereign government, but anybody looks at what this government is doing, it's not working on behalf of, it's not the consent of the governed. It is not the consent of the governed to have electric vehicles and the various things that they're doing. So that is not the consent. So I am afraid of a government that has been totally taken over by the globalist, by the New World Order, by the Great Reset, by the World Health Order, by all these crazy alphabet agencies who are not elected to do any of this stuff. They're not elected to make law. But we have a Congress who has delegated and signed off their own rights, their job, their responsibility to a bunch of yahoos. Does anybody truly think this person who's a Secretary of Transportation has a clue of what he's doing? And he is a veteran. At one point in his life, he was not a homosexual all his life. But now, because he decided to be a homosexual, now that's why he got the job of Secretary of State or Secretary of Transportation. Kind of crazy. Yeah, again, you can go and say something, but then I do need to
This is a question for you and all the panelists, including the caller you're going to let in. Why is it when you guys complain and criticize about how America's going down, you all love your country? But when people like me, a black radical, critique the country and identify its faults, we hate the country. So why you get to criticize that you love the country, but people on my end, the leftist side, not liberal, because I don't identify with liberal, I'm more identified with the black radical, why we hate the country? It is like a contradiction on your part. And
that's pretty simple. You've already answered your own question on this show tonight. You have already answered that. You said you don't believe in the open market. You're not a capitalist. You don't believe in that. I do believe in it because I believe in a free society and a free market. I've also explained to you we are not a free market today. We are the kind of market you want. We are a fascist society that's being controlled by the likes of government and corporations and George Soros and Bill Gates. That is what we have today. I don't like that. Because that's not a free society. That's not a free market. So I that's why I said I love my country. If we go back to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, which, by the way, for those who don't think about this, the Constitution is to support the Declaration. If what that Constitution is doing is not supporting what that Declaration of Independence was, then there's a problem. And, well, I know there's some people out in that chat room who want the CONCON, the Convention of States. I don't think the Convention of States would be successful today because the process has been too corrupted. But we have a means. It's called amendments. So I would say, Brother Warren, for the parts that you don't like, put it out there in the chat, do whatever, what the amendment should be to fix what you're not liking. I can go out there and find various things that should be done, changed in the with our Constitution. And what also, more importantly, is we should actually follow the Constitution. We should also follow, which is for the Declaration. So restoring the Republic, which is what Joe is talking about, which I totally agree, restore our Declaration of Independence. Restore our Constitution.
Let me give you an example, Sally.
is nothing to do with a free society. Jan 6 is one of the best examples of the total takedown of the country. Why is it
when people like me critique and criticize police misconduct against civilians, we hate the country, But when you all get arrested for doing things like the January 6th riots, you were victims. You see what I'm saying? When the FBI and the police arrest you guys, you all are victims.
You're going down a different path right now. I have never said that. You're barking up the wrong tree. I've never said that. With law enforcement, that's a whole other challenge. I said what they did on Jan 6th was as anti-American as it can get. And the other people who were embedded, the FBI and the CIA. If anybody thinks the FBI and the CIA are working on behalf of the American people with everything we've seen with Hunter Biden and all this other stuff, I just don't know. You're in la-la land. I'm dealing with the facts. And the facts, even the mainstream media is having to put these awful facts that they've done their best to cover up for so many years of what's happening. So I want the facts. And I want to get back to what we're supposed to be as a free society. And if that's what you want, then you and I want the same thing. But what I hear from you, you say you don't like capitalism. And I got to let John get on here. I have to let John, hopefully he hasn't fallen asleep out there. John, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm sorry. It took so long to get there. What are your thoughts on what you're hearing out here tonight? And what do you think about Independence Day and what's happening with our country? What are you thinking?
I really don't know what to think of it. It's another 4th of July, and a lot of people, from what I see, are celebrating. So things are going somewhat normally.
Okay. So are you celebrating July 4th or are you celebrating Independence Day? Because I'm celebrating Independence Day.
That's a good question.
I was talking about this at the beginning of the show. It's we're not celebrating a day on a calendar. I don't say Merry December 25th and I don't say Happy July 4th. It's Happy Independence Day and it's Merry Christmas. I don't say Happy January 1st. I say Happy New Year's. So anyway, that's the point is, they've even marginalized the Independence Day, the event, the founding of this country, by calling it July 4th. That's just a pet peeve of mine, and I've been putting it out there, and I think you probably got one of my emails earlier this week when I was talking about that very same thing. So, okay, well, if you think that's the status quo out there, then, which I would say to a big degree it is, because, again, way too many people, first off, they think July 4th is about going shopping, looking for sales on mattresses, going out and having a hamburger someplace, or grilling, or doing whatever, and going to see some fireworks. That's what Independence Day, July 4th, means to them. It doesn't mean Independence Day, which is, I think, a big part of the underlying problems we have in this country, because people are clueless as to what is going on. They are clueless to the history. They are clueless to the events. How many of these people that are out there celebrating Independence Day or July 4th, and I've thought anything about what's going on in France. Does it bother free people that it looks like France has fallen? Their military has actually had to go out there and try to take over. Excuse me. And how did France get there? As I see it, and what I followed the last few years, France kind of laughed at us, I think, on the immigration issue. But Let me finish. I'm not gonna what happened and when it came with France. France was an open country, letting everybody come and go, and they allowed a group of individuals of a different culture to come in and take over their country. That is what has happened to them. They are no longer France as we know the French people. They have been taken over, and those people have been rioting and taking over their country. And there's some kind of a revolution, whatever you want to call it. There's something going on in France today.
Charlie.
And how far are we from that happening right here? Because I don't think we're very far, because we have this massive invasion on our southern border. And also, we had an invasion going on with the O'Biden administration, which most people don't really think about it, with his refugee program, where he would bring in massive groups of refugees and actually locate them into various cities. And in many of those cities, I believe Michigan's probably part of Detroit up there somewhere, over the local government. Hold on one second. No. I will call on you when I'm finished. That's the other part of this. And before this is over, there is a couple other things I'm going to review, but I will let Brother Warren chime in.
What about John?
Don't forget, Sally. France colonized a good portion of Africa. And when you colonize a country, you exploit that country and you extract the resources of that country and put it in your country. And so in this situation, this is not the first time France have had these type of riots. The last big one like this was back in 2005, and we can go on down the line. The young kid that was shot point blank in the head, the police lied and said he tried to ram them with the car until the video came out. So the people who are black and brown, and it's interesting because when they say brown over there, they're talking about North Africans, Arab, Berber people, as opposed to Hispanics here. But the United States have destabilized many of the governments in Central America. So this is the case of the chickens coming home to roost. You get involved in other countries, you topple governments, you exploit the people, and then you wonder why they're coming to you. You got all the loot. You got all the stolen loot. Do you know France has one of the largest gold collections in the world, and they have not one gold mine in France? Where do you think that gold's coming from? So this is what's going to – people can't act innocent. When you colonize people and exploit them, there's going to be something called blowback. And how interesting it is that Macron sits with the United States and EU countries and condemn Putin and talk about what a dictator Putin is and what a dictator Xi Jinping is in China and how to think, but yet his house is burning down. He's being repressive
on
the
and
people.
With that being said, we have another caller. Excuse me, the caller 0377. It's 0377. If we can get your first name, please.
Yeah, my name is Peter.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Good.
Oh yeah, I actually think I asked this gentleman to call in because he actually has two doctorates in theology. And he's also a teacher, has a prison ministry, and the conversation we were having because you have also a gentleman on who claims he has a doctorate in philosophy also, and he was basically saying he said he's an apostle, right? I never got that really clear if he said he was an apostle or not. Your guest tonight, and then also if he was the remarks about the King James Bible. So he was going to solidify this for me a little bit because he has some background in it a little bit better than actually I do even. So,
well,
okay.
I miss most of the program, and I miss what anybody was saying in theology or otherwise. But what I'm really interested in is, I know Joe's running for public office down there. And there's hundreds, and I could say more than hundreds, there's thousands of people that follow Joe. And I'm wondering where are these people? Why haven't they stepped up to support him? He's trying to do something. He's trying to get on the inside to make some changes from the inside. And we should be supporting that. We should be standing behind him. And one of the places he needs to be is financially. Because he's running this game on his own. He doesn't have really a great committee, and he needs one. And yet, I'm up here in New England, and so I'm unable to do. I helped him in the last campaign, we get on the ballot through petitions and getting signatures for him. But I'm wondering, where are all these people that support him, that listen to the podcast, that come on, and they have all these great and wonderful ideas, no solutions. But they have all these ideas, and I'm curious as to where are they? Why doesn't somebody step up? If anybody suffered an injustice, and we talk about injustice and white or black, cut that out. We're talking about, you know, here's Joe, and he was chained to a grate in a floor in a cell in a county jail for asking for asserting his constitutional rights. And yet they've railroaded him. All the documents, I did a lot of, I'm a paralegal also, I did a lot of document forms for him, and we filed a lot of paperwork, but they're a law unto themselves down there. And so, even the mandamus, that was filed, I mean, it's by right, it's the law. And he's got a suit filed now. He's been blackballed. And it's because of his political stance, and for no other reason. And so where's his support? Can we find out where is everybody? All I hear is talk. These programs are great, but they're all talk. And nobody's supporting anybody. They're just going to tell them what they should do or might do or could do, and there's nobody there.
Well, it's a very good topic here, and trying to get people together. I have told people plenty of times, to be honest, it just happened to be I couldn't go up to D.C. on Jan 6, or I would have been there. Because you got to remember, people on Jan 6 were protesting. The masses were out there saying they opposed to what was happening, and look what happened to them. And this is, I think, is going to be a problem with trying to get people to move forward. The other part, which goes back to what we've talked about with the corporation stuff, I want to know what rights do we have today because of this corporation? What is our true standing? Because how does the Supreme Court come back? And this is the stuff we do have people who are attempting to fight through the system, through the court system. They make it up to the Supreme Court. How does a state not have standing on immigration when you have a massive invasion into this country? And you got a Supreme Court that's telling you, oh, you're just a state. That doesn't matter. They're allowed to come in and invade your country or your state. They're allowed to do that. You don't have
to. Because people like Peter Ventura was just saying, Sally, because they're shutting us down on all levels. He just said a perfect example. I took a case all the way to the NCC Supreme Court. I'm blackballed now. I've been fired from my job. I can't get a license as a security officer because I lack moral character. Turpitude, okay? No criminal record. Because they're discriminating. They're shutting us down one by one. They're isolating us, and we won't stick together and fight.
But my whole point is we were sticking together. This was going through the legal process. We challenged what they were doing through the legal process, and we all the way up to the Supreme Court. But when you have the courts also being so corrupted too in so many ways, what was the other one? How can a candidate or the state not have standing in reference to the elections? A federal election, whether it be the presidential or any other, the truth of the matter is federal elections impact every single state because they're voting at things at the state level. But even then, when you try to fight through the legal process, through the system that's there to challenge, you are shut down too because the system has become so corrupt. When you go up, you don't have standing in your own election. Carrie Lake doesn't. You can look at the Arizona thing. How much those people have been out there fighting and fighting and fighting and challenging the system to get nowhere because the system has been so corrupt. This is where we're standing. How do you, anything short of a massive, true revolution out there, which is, I'm not promoting a revolution before somebody comes after me for that one. But outside of that, what can we do? I have said out there, I don't comply. I didn't comply with a mask. I didn't comply with a jab. I do the things that I can. But what am I supposed to do? And because that's part of, we keep talking about the solution.
No.
The solution. What do you do if I say I reject what they do? I try to educate people on the truth of what's going on because that's a big part of the problem. We have a media that doesn't do anything. So I'm hoping that these shows such as this are telling the truth on some of these things, getting some other information out there because they don't understand the globalism.
Somebody got background noise.
Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, now it's Vision 2050 and whatever else. This global element that's out there. that most people have no clue about. And many of us have been, hey, wake up, this is going on. And they were accusing you of being a conspiracy nutcase.
Background noise. Somebody's got background noise. Somebody's talking.
Yep. So also, we've got about 6 minutes left here. Anybody who's listening via the internet, you might want to call in if you want to continue listening. We're going to run a few minutes over, but I'm not going to be staying on too late tonight. And Dr. Tolbert is going to close with a prayer for our nation. I have been asking everybody, and what do we do? Get back to what we're supposed to be. Find out about restoring the republic. I am there ready to work with others if somebody is going to get us together. I have offered to do various things here locally in Florida, going to Tallahassee and meeting with people. But if I go by myself, they're just going to laugh. And that's the part of the problem. And I don't have billions of dollars, so I can't go and write across the sky, get off your dead Americans, because we're losing our country. If I thought that would help. So it's easy to go and say what we're talking about on this show is trying to reach people, educate them, and get them to do something. I'm here if anybody wants to tell me how I can volunteer. I go to the meetings, I speak up, I've done the protesting, I've done the sign wavings. I what else do you want me to do? I have run for office too. By the way, I did run for office. So there's plenty of us out here trying to do something, but the one man army kind of thing isn't going to do it. We've got to get everybody together. So tell me what the plan is, and that's why I promoted a campaign of the Bible, and Dr. Tolbert was talking about his book as well, trying to reach out to these people who seem to have been so brainwashed and so corrupted.
Yeah, but you're not
going to
get nowhere, Sally, on that. That's not going to get – that's the wrong doctrine, you know. You can't preach false doctrine and expect God to listen.
Well
– You know?
I don't know that if you're saying the Bible is false doctrine for the United States.
No, I'm not saying the Bible.
One nation
no.
under God. These people have lost any core beliefs. Tell me, Joe, exactly what you want me to do today.
It is one nation under God, but what God are you praying to? What God are you praying to? You know, we're not going to pray to Muhammad. We're not going to pray to Buddha. We're not going to pray to the Pope.
The Judeo-Christian. We are founded as a Christian nation.
Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, under the blood of Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Not the Pope, right?
I mean, we don't say one nation under Jesus. We say one nation under God.
Jesus is God.
Well, but I'm saying, you're the one calling out the difference here. I'm saying, I'm making reference to the Bible. No, if we want me to say the King James Bible, if that would help or something. But the thing is, I said one nation under God. Are we one nation under God? These people that I see in public office today are not part of one nation under God. If they're what they call Christians, then I guess I'm in the wrong religion. I don't know. Because they're not following the core of one nation under God. They're not adhering to such a standard.
Oh, I agree with you. One nation
again,
under
I'll
God
go back
is just, I'm
say,
just saying, what God, Sally? That's all I was asking is, what God are we worshiping, you know?
Well, when we say, in God we trust, one nation under God, and again, we were founded as a Judeo-Christian nation. That is what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking, if you're something different. I definitely didn't say the Koran. I think I pretty much said I wasn't following the Koran.
Yeah, no, I got
you
that.
You mentioned Buddha earlier.
Yeah.
No, I'm not following
no,
Buddha.
No, but your doctor friend, though, he won't, that's fine if he doesn't want to engage in a discussion about biblical truth or historical accuracy of the Bibles and stuff, because it's very important to have sound doctrine and the true, accurate word of God, you know, and if we don't have that, then we're not, we're praying to a paper bag, like I said earlier. We're praying to nothing. You know, there's no point.
Well,
God's not listening, you know.
If our culture today, if the culture of what we're doing to the children and the transgendering and all this other stuff, if this is the God that they're following, I don't know what God that is. Excuse me, because I see the culture being taken down by so many things. So what culture, what God are they following? Because it's not the world.
Well, they're not following God. They're following Satan, you know.
Well, that's the point.
I like to say this, Sally, as an American who has various continents that run through my vein, America should strive to be great. I don't think America ever was great. It needs to strive to finally be great. And that's the way I like to look at it.
How do we do that, Warren?
Well, first of all, that's a good question, Joe. We have to put away all mythologies and lies we've been taught about things in America and stop trying to live in a quote-unquote Appalachian-type Hamlet bubble. A holler. You know, Loretta Lynn was from what they call a holler in Kentucky. I don't know if you know what a holler is. But it's too much of this conservative talk is manifestation of an isolationist perspective that people from rural areas in the Ozarks and Appalachian have, a distrust of outsiders. And that's what I hear in your conservative platforms and discussions. It's very unfortunate. And what it does, the vast majority of America, which is not, which is more and more becoming not of European heritage, you're isolating yourself from them. And you're trying to create, it's kind of like a Civil War veteran, wounded, laying in the bed in 1920. Okay, the Civil War ended in 1865, but you got this Civil War veteran laying in the bed, reminiscing about how great the South was. That's how you guys sound.
Okay.
Well, that's, you have the right to.
Yeah, and you didn't give us solutions, though. You criticized what we're doing.
Well, not today. I ain't going to give the solutions today.
Okay, keep us in suspense.
Yep, and I go back time and time again to Jefferson. You can't, if you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect it never was and will never be. We've become a very ignorant nation. We have lost our freedom and our rights. Most people don't even know what the Bill of Rights is. How many college students graduate and have never heard of George Washington? I mean, just the variety of things. They don't know anything to do with history. How many people, and maybe even those on this call, have never read Washington's farewell address? If you read Washington's farewell address and don't see the irony of what he said and where we are today, there's truly nothing new here. It's all been planned. Why is it that people, there's a certain evilness within people, and I call it evil. Evilness, when you would take a child and chop up their body, I think that's evil. When you would go and put a poisonous vaccine into the bloodstream of humans with the intent to kill, which is really what this was about, it was a bioweapon, I think that's evil. I can attest to that.
It was a bioweapon. I spent 11 days in the hospital. It's definitely a bioweapon, and it has long-term effects. And by the grace of God, that somehow I survived it, where other people who have died. But again, here's the simple solution that we all need to start. The Christians, the true Christians and the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to get their hearts right. And when they get their hearts right, then they can pray for this nation. And then God will do something. And God will raise up a leader. Okay? We don't have to go begging and sniffing around. God always raises up a leader to lead his people. But it's the hearts of the people that has to be right first. And we need to not only pray for the country. You know, again, there's something wrong with a man who could put his hand on the Bible and take the oath of office and claim to be the president of the United States and endorse abortions. These are not true Christians. These are people claiming and using Christianity to promote their own agenda. See? And again, truth is not relative. It isn't I see it my way, I see it your way. The Bible is the standard. And if it doesn't line up with the book, it's not right. And that's the standard that the forefathers had in developing this country. And so we need to stand. We need to get our hearts right as Christians, men and women, boys and girls, and pray. And when our heart's right, God will hear it. Elijah was a man with a right heart, and he prayed it didn't rain for 3 years. So one man can do great things. But God, all God wants is a sincere heart.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you one quick question, then I'm going to ask Dr. Torbert to go ahead and close with a prayer. When we as a culture, because we said we believe in freedom of religion and these other things that came along in this process, when we took God out of the public schools, when we have taken God out of the public square, when the culture has been under attack for many years, when, again, promoting the abortion, promoting the transgender, which is not normal, and it's a mental illness. They used to, in fact, it was something I just said recently seen about Klinger, who used to be in the MASH show. Klinger was out there always dressed as a woman. He was trying to get released as a mental case because he was acting like a woman when he was a man. It's kind of funny,
right,
when you think about that was happening. Mental illness is what it is, and most of that,
yeah,
mental illness is self-inflicted because of the brainwashing of a girl that goes and plays softball with her brothers is somehow now a boy and is a transgender. All the insanity of it all. So we've got this evilness of this element trying to change that when you took God out of the public square. You were not even allowed to say God bless America in public anymore. I mean, the insanity of what has happened. So trying to restore the culture, like you're saying, is what the challenge is to me. If we get back to the culture, which is why trying to somehow you took an oath to uphold the Constitution and you and the Declaration, which is divine providence, you know, the great, our creator. What creator are you people supporting? Because I can't figure it out. It's not the one I'm thinking of. So getting back to that place. Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
Okay, so we get back to we get back to the place, as you said, you know, about people dressed. Listen, Satan's a progressive. And this movement, this alphabet people, the LGBTQ, the alphabet people we call them, this is a progressive that started way back when Bugs Bunny was chasing Elmer Fudd in a skirt. And then we had the gay, butler. And it was all funny. Well, it's not funny anymore, you see. And this is what it led to because we've allowed it there. Now, if the people in this country want to see a change in the United States of America, then first they must get their hearts right with God themselves. The true Christians must stand up for truth and get their hearts right and pray that God would be merciful and kind to our nation and to raise up leaders who will lead us in a godly fashion. Because what we have is a bunch of demonized people that are claiming to be Christians running the country and playing on the hearts of the people. But allowing satanic values to be progressive. You see, I was in California. My grandson came home and he said, look, they're teaching us the contributions of Islam to the world. And I sent him an article where they were going to flog a woman in Islam for something, so riding a bicycle or something. And I said, well, there's a contribution. And I sent a Quran to the school teacher. And then the next week I sent her a Bible, you know, and she sent it back and said, thank you. And your grandson's blessed to have a grandfather who is wise enough to know the difference, you see. And so our problem is this. We have public schools, and all our public schools are run by teachers. And all these teachers, they all have their own thoughts and their own religious beliefs and their own agenda in teaching. And that's another problem we have. And that's because, as you said, we've removed God from school. And so it's up to us as Christians. Again, we need to make sure our hearts are right, get the right preaching going. Tecuaviles says when he walked through this country, that what made America great was on a Sunday he could walk and hear the preaching coming out of the churches, the sound doctrine. Against sin. See, churches are not preaching against sin. They're afraid to tell the people about hell. They're afraid to tell them about sin, the sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. See, they're afraid to talk about the shed blood of Jesus. And that goes along with the progressive movement in the new Bibles, the NIV, the RSV, the ASV. Those are all satanic ploys to water down the Word of God to bring in the New Age Bible, where all religions, everybody can read this one Bible, and it doesn't matter what religion you're in, you all accept it. It's a one-world religion. And that's the footprint of Satan since the Garden of Eden. Yea, what has God said?
Yeah. Well, correct.
And
you're not getting any argument out of me.
Yeah, and it's not taught in our churches.
Well, the churches are a big problem, too. And, well, we truly didn't touch too much on the church itself tonight. We definitely have in the past. And the churches, once they started commercializing, is the way I put it, commercializing the church, then and also having government do so many of the things that the churches were supposed to help in the community. That, again, it was all part of the breakdown. Breakdown of the culture, breakdown of the church, breakdown of the family. It's a very, very sad state of affairs because, well, the churches, now they have to worry about if they're going to lose their tax-free status. I mean, when that's what you're focused on, then you can forget the true meaning of the church.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. So there's that.
Whoa.
Now,
yeah.
Okay, hold on. We're wrapping up right now. I want to make sure this is the article I was talking about. We haven't really had a chance to go into it, but Zero Hedge is the website, zerohedge.com. And this is, I don't think we'll ever get to the 2024 election. And this is Colonel Douglas McGregor, retired, he warns. And because right now, at the point we're at right now with this economy and the takedown of this country, because of the, whatever you want to call it, the O'Biden up there and the other garbage going on, will we actually see a 2024 election? And if we get there, will it be anywhere near honest? Because the systems have been so rigged. It's a very interesting thing, and we can maybe talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. We'll go around very quickly. Warren, I'll give you a minute, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Talbert to close with a prayer. Warren and then Joe. And I don't know if John is still out there, but just a last final words of wisdom. But just give yourself a minute. Please don't go ranting.
Well, I, you know, what I had to do, since people use God's word to promote this conservatism, I went, dusted off my Bible off the shelf, and I went to put on a robe. I'm going to be a preacher now. Now, there's a verse in the Bible that says, oh, okay, good. There's a verse in the Bible that says, but a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death.
Amen.
Then in the book here of Jeremiah says, then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the delusions of their own minds. And that's what I feel about some of your guests that have been on here, to use the Bible to promote hate, to promote religious prejudice. And even though we disagree with the lifestyle of the LGBTQ people, we still must love them, and we still must embrace them as human beings. And so I want to counter the evangelists on here who use God's words to promote division, hate, and to advocate one way of thinking on the planet.
Okay. Joe?
Well, I don't know what God you worship, pal, but when God comes back, he's not coming back as the great healer and great unifier. He's coming back to divide and to destroy, okay? And there will be one way of believing when God comes back. It won't be your way, my way, and another guy's way. It's going to be God's way, okay? So every knee will bow. Trust me, yours and mine, everybody. And you can say you're going to do this or say this or you don't believe this, or you can have all the questions you want, but your face is going to hit the ground just like everybody else's, okay? So the bottom line is this. Yeah, LGBTQ, all this woke movement and this liberal nonsense, yeah, we go and we bring them the gospel, we bring them the truth, and they reject it. That's it. We turn around, we walk away. They're heretics. We got no place for them no more. That's it. We're done with them. All this, we are the world, we're one. We're, no. We reject that lifestyle. That is a filthy lifestyle. That is sin. And they're out dancing in the street in front of children with hard-ons. That is disgusting. That is absolute. That's a crime. And for us to sit back and allow that to be parading around in our towns is God will. God's going to judge us for that. Trust me. So all this we are the world stuff that you're preaching, Warren, it doesn't work. And you keep attacking conservatives, and you keep attacking the Constitution and the founders. Like I said, until you declare what you really stand for, like I said, you're suspect. So with that, I yield.
Okay. Peter, any last words on what you'd like to say right here? And then I will have Dr. Talbert close with a prayer.
Well, Scripture says it's an abomination to God for a man to lie with a man. I think that says it all there.
It's abomination. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. God hasn't changed. His opinion of sin has not changed. And yes, we want to witness to those people, to the alphabet people. We want to witness to them. We want to see them get converted, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that way there, you know, spare them from an eternity in hell. Because that's what the Bible says. And either you believe the book or you don't. That's the bottom line. And so it's back to the Bible or back to the jungle. Thank you. For
okay, thank you.
Can I add a sentence?
Thank you. No, you cannot. No, Warren. You had your chance. Don't do
just
that.
Just one sentence.
You had your close. Save it for next week. Dr. Tolbert's been waiting, and we're already about almost 15 minutes over. So we'll continue. Hold that thought for next week. You're more than welcome to post it out there in the chat if you want, or hold it for next week. And with that being said, Dr. Tolbert, please say a prayer for America. Help us get back together, get back on track here, and hopefully save our country.
Yeah, Sally, I want to just, before I go into prayer, just bring up a couple points. One of the individuals that John brought on was a professor and a doctor of theology, and I really appreciate that. I have an email, cfabamerica@gmail.com, cfabamerica@gmail.com. I would like to send that professor a copy of my two books and the Pharaoh Fitton Bible. I would like for him also to go online and pull up the Pharaoh Fitton. You can also go online to Barnes & Noble's, and you can go online to Google Systematic Theology Through the Spiritual Eye and Systematic Theology Through the Spiritual Eye, God's Laws versus Man, Volume 2. I will send those books free, and I will send the Pharaoh Fitton Bible free. That would cost him over $100 and some if he went out and did it. But I want him to read, and if he contradicts me, I would like for him to educate me. If he is in agreement, I would like for him to teach John something. As far as other individuals, it's not John, Joe, teach them something. It's not relevant. Also, there's
not relevant.
I ran for president.
It is, John's out there too, but Joe was.
Right. I ran for president in 2012. I ran for the governor. I ran for the Senate twice. I ran for the vice president of the United States. Citizens for a Better America. My bylaws required under compliance of S-103.095, Florida statute. The state of Florida refuses to have a non-party affiliated individuals, and I had to go to court and fight the state of Florida over the fact I'm a 501c3 and a 501c4, and I do not take donations. I am a total believer, whether people want to go or not, but if anybody wishes to not afford to buy the books, and I donate them to PDF file to 40 countries. I'm teaching what God gave me to teach, whether you're a believer in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or whether you're a believer in the fivefold ministry, the apostleship, which is a messenger, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist is your own position. A prayer is for the peace of the world. This is the day that we're celebrating of Independence Day, and we opened the show tonight talking about Independence Day, and we diversified it to many directions. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord our God, who can be compared with you? Who is even similar to you among the gods? What God is it as great as our God, who is abundant in mercy and beloved in strength to bring consolation and salvation to all of us? This is why we pray to you tonight, O God, this day not be silent at the time when we hear the sounds of war and threats from the mighty ones of the earth. Forgive, O most loving God, forgive and show mercy. You are a most compassionate and merciful Lord. You will not chastise us in our wealth nor instruct us in our anger. Otherwise, we would revert back to the chaos at the beginning, before we came into existence. During these difficult times, be with us, Lord our God. Make us strong, for we have a place in our hope in you, and we are fortified in it and encouraged by your name. May your word be confirmed, Lord, which you spoke to us, that you will be with us always, even at the end of age. May the hopes of the Christians be raised up high, and may those who threaten us be put to shame. May those who threaten us with war and battles be terrified, shamed, and scattered, and may their power be destroyed and the domination be no more. And they will know indeed that your name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Hear the voice of our supplication, O Lord, and turn away from us the dangers and threats to the human race. Dissolve the clouds of devastation from the possible war and Sarfe, your peace among us, so that your holy name will be glorified. And the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, now and forever into the ages of ages. In Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost name, amen, Sally.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Tolbert. Thank you for the discussion. It's been an excellent discussion, and I think we all realize where we have to correct some things. We have to get back to the core founding of what we believe and be one nation under God, and God we trust, and God Jesus Christ we trust. So everybody, please remember it's Independence Day. Remember what it is. Celebrate our freedom. Do what you can to be engaged and help save our nation for the future. And with that being said, good night, everyone. Happy Independence Day, and we will talk again next week. God bless
you. Amen.
God bless you.